Investment Flash.
Buddy, Japan's tenure just cracked 3% for the first time since 1996, and the yen slid past 160. The reflation trade is not just a headline, it's the whole tape.
I'm Marie, and this is Investment Flash, London Edition, Tuesday, September 1st. Tom's already caffeinated, Gerald's here too, ready to poke holes.
Oh, I haven't said a word yet. Let me guess, we're all supposed to buy Japanese government bonds now.
No way, Gerald. The yield cracked 3, that's the story. Bloomberg and Nikkei both flagged the milestone. And Nikkei says budget requests hit a record 143 trillion yen. This is reflation with a capital R.
Yeah, look, a 3% 10 years sounds big until you realize the yen is still sliding past 160. The FT says traders are adding tightening bets after Warsh's Jackson Hole speech, but the carry is still bid. The BOJ hasn't intervened. So which is it? Strength or weakness?
Hold on. That's exactly the split. The bond market is pricing reflation. The currency market is pricing Warsh's hawkishness. The BOJ's next move settles the direction, not the milestone.
But the milestone matters, Marie. First time since 96? That's a generation. You can't just wave that off.
I'm not waving it off, Tom. I'm saying the FT is forecasting continued yen weakness past 160, with no intervention yet. The bond yields should support the yen, but they're not. That's a divergence that needs a catalyst.
Fair point.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the catalyst we need.
And the catalyst is probably sitting in Tokyo waiting for a press conference. Until then, we watch the pair.
Right, and that's why we flag the yen as a watch. The 3% argues for strength, but the carry is still on. Same with Japan equities. Higher yields pressure valuations. Weak yen helps exporters. It's a wash.
See, that's the point. The reflation story is real, but it's not one-directional. Gerald, your long-duration treasury watch from yesterday, this is the same trade. Global long yields are getting pushed higher.
Fair enough. And the FT flagged Warsh's speech directly hitting long duration. We're watching the long bond ETF, the one with 20-plus year duration, for the first sign of a break.
Only Gerald could turn a Japan yield spike into a treasury warning. But he's not wrong.
I'll take that as a compliment. Next up, Japan Autos. Honda and Nissan doing a software deal months after merger talks failed.
Wait, Honda and Nissan? After the merger fell apart? That's like getting back together but only agreeing to share a Netflix password.
That's actually perfect. The FT says the Software Cooperation Pact has no financial terms, and it stopped short of the scale deal both probably need. Nissan needed the merger more, and that weakness is still the risk.
Exactly. Software sharing rarely moves the cost needle without a capital tie-up. Toyota's scale advantage is untouched. So we hold all three. Honda, Nissan, Toyota. No change.
Right. That's a quick one. Moving to retail tariff refunds. The Wall Street Journal says retailers are using refund money to cut prices, naming Elf Beauty, Walmart, and Tractor Supply.
Hold on. Using one-time refunds to fund price cuts? That's margin giveaway with no guarantee of volume. Next quarter's same-store sales will tell us if it's a share grab or self-harm.
The arithmetic is grim, but the strategy is aimed at stretched consumers. It's a trade-off. We hold all three names and the retail sector overall because the signal is mixed.
Canadian honey producers are feeling the tariff sting, by the way. So the pass-through is one way. At least the bees are safe.
Oh, Tom, that's a stretch, but fair.
All right, let's move to the fun one. Deer. Baird upgraded Deer to outperform. Target $800, implying 27% upside.
Oh, buddy, this is the one. Corn futures up 22% year-to-date. Soybeans up 22%. Deer shares up more than 35%. Best year since 2020, and Baird says 800.
Okay, slow down. 12 of 26 analysts still say hold, so this isn't consensus. The stock is up 35% year to date. How much of that fundamental story is already in the price?
No, but that's exactly the pushback. The trade rests on crop prices holding above farmer break-evens, not on a deer-specific operational beat. It's a commodity trade wearing a tractor company's name.
But that's the point. Corn just hit a three-year high. The ag complex is on fire. Deer is the cleanest way to play it.
We'll buy deer, we'll buy the corn ETF, and we'll buy the broad agriculture basket. But we do it knowing the crowd is getting thick.
Fine, but the trend is your friend. Corn up 22%, deer up 35%. I'll take that all day.
Okay, next, energy and Hormuz. Bloomberg has the most original take today. LNG exports through the Strait of Hormuz are still stalled, even as oil flows rebound. That's the asymmetry.
And CNBC says oil futures up more than 3% on U.S.-Iran strikes. Halliburton up 2.5%, Chevron up 2%. But the real story is gas, because LNG is stuck while crude is healing.
Bloomberg's Stephen Stapchinesky splits Hormuz into two stories. Crude tankers have returned to normal. LNG carriers haven't. That means oil risk is fading. Gas is still war-footed. So we buy Cheniere Energy, buy natural gas, and buy the energy sector. But we fade crude.
And this is the key. If oil flows are rebounding, crude upside is capped. The play is gas and LNG exposure, not oil. Hold crude, but don't chase it.
Exactly.
Right.
That's it.
Gerald, yesterday you told us to buy Brent. Today it's up another 3%. Just saying.
And now I'm saying hold crude and buy gas. It's called nuance, but thanks for keeping score.
Next, Korea leveraged unwind. Bloomberg says the mania in single-stock leveraged ETFs tied to Samsung and SK Hynix is over. Assets cut in half.
So the retail leverage tailwind is gone. That's a positioning cleanup, not a fundamentals call. Samsung and SK Hynix still have the HBM memory cycle driving fair value.
Right, and it cuts both ways. The froth leaves, but so does the retail bid that papered over weakness. Korea's tape is cleaner, not necessarily cheaper. We hold all three, Samsung, SK Hynix, and the Korea Equity Index.
That was quick. Now, software maturity wall. The FT reports private equity faces a $40 billion maturity wall in 2028 to refinance COVID-era software buyouts. They're paying a steep price to buy time against the AI threat.
The number is specific, but 2028 is 3 years away. Loan and high-yield spreads haven't repriced yet. We watch the leveraged loan ETF and the high-yield ETF for the first spread widening.
So we're not shorting software yet, but the refinancing wave is coming. That's a slow burn risk.
And that's the part nobody's quantifying. Where AI and credit meet. The $40 billion wall should be the start of a credit positioning conversation, not a throwaway line.
Then we have the pre-market movers. Aon down 1.8% after agreeing to buy USI Insurance from KKR for $17 billion. PG&E down 16% after California lawmakers blocked a wildfire liability cap, and Mizuho downgraded.
Both are catalyst-driven and binary. Aon's integration and leverage risk is now the debate. PG&E's liability overhang just got materially worse with no legislative shield. We sell both.
Sell? Tom, you usually love a dip. What's the difference here?
The difference is the market is explicitly pricing the bad news. Aon down on a huge acquisition, PG&E down on no liability cap. The downside isn't fully in the price yet.
And for PG&E, a 16% drop after a failed legislative shield is not a buying opportunity. It's a re-rating. Mizuho downgraded for a reason.
Okay, let's zoom out. Japan's 10-year at 3%. The yen passed 160. Record budget request. Deer upgraded on corn and soy up 22%. The market paying up for real assets. This is the reflation trade spreading across asset classes.
And look at the convergence. Bloomberg, Nikkei, and FT all pointing at the same Japan story from different angles. Yield milestone, budget records, yen slide. That's not coincidence.
Okay, but the bear case is almost as strong. Deer is up 35% year to date, and 12 of 26 analysts still say hold. Much of the story is in the price. Japan's 3% is partly a wash reaction. If the BOJ leans dovish or intervenes in FX, the entire yen JGB leg unwinds. And crude flows through Hormuz have rebounded, even though LNG is stalled. Chasing the complex now buys the late innings of a move that has already run for 8 months.
Fair points, Gerald, but the path of least resistance is still real assets over financials. Until the BOJ intervenes or the Fed pushes back, the trend is intact.
And the missing catalysts are the problem. No one is laying out a BOJ intervention trigger or a threshold for JGB 3.25. We're missing the catalysts, not the direction.
Exactly.
Right.
That's it.
The cleanest expression isn't one ticker. It's being long real assets with pricing power, ag commodities, LNG, maybe energy, and short duration proxies that the reflation story hurts. Deer and the Natural Gas Fund are two sides of the same trade. The long duration Treasury ETF is the casualty.
As always, none of this is investment advice. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
And we're back later today at 9 a.m. New York time for the New York edition. See you there.